Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's gospel taken from Matthew chapter 20. We see three examples of a certain ignorance regarding the truth. First, our Lord takes the apostles aside and he foretells his death and resurrection. And in St. Luke's account of this same instance, St. Luke says that the 12, quote, understood none of these things. They didn't grasp what he said, Luke 18, verse 34. And then we heard the mother of James and John asking for her sons to be seated right beside Jesus in his kingdom, and our Lord responds by telling her and telling them that they don't understand essentially what they're asking, that they're ignorant of the suffering that's involved for those who want to reign alongside of Jesus. That's Matthew 20, verses 21 and 22. And then Jesus corrects the other apostles, saying that they don't understand greatness in God's eyes, that greatness is found in service and in sacrifice, Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. So there's a lot of ignorance about things with the apostles as our Lord was training and forming them on how to be true disciples of his and to be leaders in the church. So we thought we'd give a brief reflection on how ignorance plays a part in our spiritual journey, particularly in the moral life. In fact, in moral theology, they typically talk about two different types of ignorance, either vincible ignorance or invincible ignorance. If you have what's called a true or a correct conscience, that means that you're able to judge the moral quality of an action according to what's true. So you judge a good action as good, you judge a bad action as bad or evil. If you have what's called an erroneous conscience, it means that you judge an action that's good to be bad, and vice versa. And that's when the question of vincible or invincible ignorance comes in. Erroneous, again, means that I'm in error about my judgments, and the error could regard the law or the commandments itself. So if I think it's okay to deny someone who's in a vegetative state food and water, then I'm ignorant about the basic care that must be given and must not be denied persons in that condition. Or I could be in error about the facts regarding an action. So maybe I could know that someone who's terminally ill should not be denied food or water, but maybe I'm just unaware of the fact that this particular person in front of me actually isn't being fed, for example. What's the description of someone who has invincible ignorance? Well, invincible means what we commonly understand it to mean. It means that it can't be overcome. Someone has invincible ignorance, one, when they don't even suspect that their own opinion is wrong and must be abandoned, or two, when even after reflection and research and seeking counsel from wise persons regarding a problem, when even after all that, they still arrive at the wrong conclusion. They still conclude something that's objectively wrong. That's also invincible ignorance. It could be a question of a lack of intelligence with some people. It could even be a psychological problem with others or some other difficulty, but they remain invincibly ignorant. Vincible ignorance is a little different. It's when we have doubts about our opinion or on something, either because of just an interior uncertainty, I'm not so sure about this, or because the opinion of people who are competent regarding the issue contrasts with my own opinion. So someone who knows something more about it says something different than what I think. And instead of acting to discover what the truth is, we refuse to do so. You know, either it could be because of laziness or stubbornness or pride, because we don't want to give up our wrong opinions, or even malice, or even for some other reasons as well. So vincible ignorance is caused by my willing to remain ignorant. Invincible ignorance is not willed, neither directly nor indirectly. People are not held morally responsible or culpable by God for invincible ignorance. For vincible ignorance, yes, they are held responsible. Even if it's just because they neglect or they're lazy about finding out the truth about something. However, vincible ignorance at times can lessen our degree of culpability. For example, If I was negligent years ago about finding out whether or not I could receive Holy Communion without going to confession after committing the sin of self-abuse, to use the euphemistic term for it, the thought came to my mind years ago, I should ask a priest about this, but I decided not to, either because I didn't want to have the right answer or just because of laziness. And now, years later, it doesn't even occur to me that I need to go to confession before receiving Holy Communion. I'm still responsible before God for years ago when I didn't ask the priest when I thought maybe I should. But now that ignorance has become basically a form of invincible ignorance. I'm just not even aware that there's a problem anymore. And so for now, that lessens my culpability until either the Lord or someone else helps reawaken my conscience. And then I have, once again, the choice. I can choose whether or not I'm going to repent and embrace the truth and find out the truth, or voluntarily, I can willfully remain in error. That's an example of when invincible ignorance can be lessened as far as being responsible for it. But when it comes to my attention, I do need, again, to resolve the problem. Instructing the ignorant is the first spiritual work of mercy, so it's generally a good principle to enlighten someone about the truth if we see that they're in error about something, particularly regarding the faith or morals. However, we need to try to discern and be careful. We have to see, is this person open to the truth or not? And if they're not, then often it's better to wait until they give some signs of being open or until they're in difficulty and they actually come to us and they ask for advice. We don't want to badger or beat up people over the head with the truth because often that just drives them further away. So we want to avoid that extreme as well. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and be patient with them as the Lord is patient with us. Sooner or later, God will turn on the light inside of their consciences and they'll have the opportunity to decide whether or not they want to embrace the truth or remain in the dark in ignorance. So we pray for them and ask Our Lady's intercession for those who are ignorant, that our Lord would enlighten them and that he would continue to enlighten us as well. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.